Good morning. All right, welcome to Life Point Church. My name is Andy Driscoll. I'm the lead pastor here. And man, we are so excited to have you with us today. And appreciate Mike leading us today. Kind of an empty place up here. So giving the team some rest and a week off. So with that, just made me think, I'm going to thank those of you that serve up here on the worship team. I know some of you are here and actually getting to just be a part of the service. So thank you all for what you do. Also want to give a shout out to everybody that serves here at Life Point Church. And you know, from Sunday to Sunday, from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for what you do and your ministry and trying and attempting to move the gospel forward through this place. So thank you all for what you do. Yeah, that's awesome. So today, jumping in, in week two of our current message series called Perspective. And what we're doing here is that we're working through the book of Philippians, and we're pulling out some of the key truths that we find within these four chapters that help us to rethink and change our perspective. Specifically, changing our perspective in how we do life, how we navigate this world. And the people around us and the trials and the difficulties and all the different things that life throws at us, that we can have a different perspective on things that can really benefit and help us. So now, how many of you all have ever experienced a situation where you found out something new, you acquired some new piece of information, and you were like, man, I never really thought about it like that before? Like, and it opens your eyes to all kinds of new thinking or just a different way of thinking. You kind of have this mind shift to where you always thought about it like this, but then when you get that new piece of information, you think about it like this. You shift in the way you think. How many of you all have ever had that? Yeah, I have it quite a bit. But I was thinking about that this week, and you know, actually, I want to give you a few examples of this. So actually, just Friday night, many of you all know, because I talk about it a lot, or I'm out because of it this time of year, but my daughter dances competitively, and she danced in a competition here in Louisville this past Friday night, and she did her solo, and she finished eighth place. And so we were excited for her, but when she came out, you know, stage with her award and everything, she's just like, eh. And we're like, what? She's like, I should have gotten higher. And so she's kind of bummed out, and so she was frustrated. She felt that she should have scored higher and finished and placed higher. But we were driving home. I said, well, Amelia, you understand that there were like 28 very competitive dancers in your division. And she was like, there was 28? I'm like, yeah, so you were better than a gross majority of them. I mean, you did really well. And so it changed her perspective. It changed her way of thinking about that, which I have to say, I very much appreciate the fact that she was frustrated and upset about it, because that shows me a little bit of competitiveness and a fire, and she gets that honestly from me. But it changed the way she thought in hearing that there was a lot of dancers that didn't place, and she did better than them. So it changed her perspective. I think about a new, there's an artist, his name's Andy Mineo, and he just released a new EP this week. And I was listening to that, and it's really good, and I was listening to it, but he has, like, at the very end, he's talking about his album artwork on the album. And what he gave an example of how he was on a plane one day. And it was very cloudy, stormy. There was lightning and thunder, and he was nervous being on the plane. And the captain was like, hey, we're getting ready to take off, but you know, be prepared for turbulence, and we're going to experience a lot of turbulence. So he was freaking out. He said even in there that he thought he was going to die, you know. But then when they got above the clouds, the sun was there. He said it was like California. And he made the example of the fact that, you know, the sun was always there. He just didn't think about it. He didn't see it. There was this storm he was going through. So it was a change of perspective. It was a mind shift that even when it's storming and it's nasty and it's scary, the sun is still there. You just can't see it. It's a perspective change. It's a mind shift. And then last night, Again, there was dance competitions all weekend, so I got home yesterday at 5 o'clock. I was way behind in getting everything done for today. Stressed out, frustrated, you know, finished this up at, you know, like midnight last night. And, you know, but then I thought about exactly what I shared last week. I thought about that guy at Thornton's that said, "Hey, man, be blessed. You are blessed. You got a job." So even though I was stressed and tired and a little frustrated, I had that, again, that mind shift, that different way of thinking that, man, I'm so blessed. I'm so honored to be able to do this and be able to provide for my family with my other job and to do all these different things. Man, when you see things differently, you get that new piece of information, it can change everything. You have a change of perspective. So what I want to do today is I want us to check out Philippians chapter 2. And what we're going to do is we're going to pull out some information here, and we're going to discuss the importance of developing a different way of thinking. The importance of having those mind shifts, right? And so if you missed last week, a little bit about the book of Philippians, it was a letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. And the church, man, he absolutely loved this church. Again, you can, as you read through this book, and I encourage you, as we're going through this over 4 weeks, man, read through this book. Read through it over and over and over again. Just read it, get into it, and you'll see how much he loved this church, how much there was tons of joy that was mentioned in this book, in this letter that he wrote. And he actually started this church around 52 AD. And so what led to him writing this letter was that this church actually sent him a very generous gift at the perfect time and at a time of great need. And he was so thankful for that. And he received that gift. And he was thankful. And so he, in return, he drafted and wrote this letter and sent it to them. And of course, it's Paul, so he had tons of wisdom, right, and information and instruction and guidance, you know, layered in this thank you letter as well. And again, if you read this book carefully, and I hope you do, you'll find a plethora of references also to the mind. Last week we talked about how there's a lot of references to joy, but there's also references to the mind, the way we think, the patterns of our thinking. You're going to see Paul address things like how you think, what you remember, and also what your attitude is. He addresses all these things in this letter, specifically in chapter 2. And so today, I want to talk to you about really and truly embracing that different way of thinking, to have that mind shift. We all need a mind shift today in some area. I promise you, you need a mind shift somewhere. You need a new perspective on things. Maybe you already have had that mind shift and you forgot, kind of like I did last night. You need to be reminded. You need that mind shift, that perspective change. So let's just go ahead and jump in. Philippians chapter 2, we're going to start off reading verses 1 and 2. And Paul, he writes this: "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his joy, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose." Now, we had a board meeting this past week, and I actually led the meeting with reading the first few verses of this chapter about unity and how critical and important unity is to the body of Christ. And here we see Paul talking about how we need to be unified. So which leads me to believe that there may have been a little bit of division in this church. And so he's reminding them, man, be like-minded. Think about the same things. Be like-minded. Man, but why does this matter? Why is being like-minded important? Well, if you will look through Scripture, all throughout Scripture, man, you're going to see, again, a ton of verses that reference the power and the importance of our thoughts, of our mind. I mean, the way we think is critical. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be scattered all through his word. You know, for example, James said that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Paul told the Romans, he said, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." to the Corinthians, he said, take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ. To the Philippians, as we just read, to be like-minded. Later, he says that whatsoever things are true and noble and pure and lovely and admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think on these things. And in Proverbs, he teaches us that as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Man, the mind is an incredibly powerful thing. And it's so important how we think. And so today, I want to encourage you, man, to have a new way of thinking. Because our thoughts and our mind, man, they matter. So with that all being said, what I want to do and share with you this morning is I want to share a few different mind shifts that we see from Scripture that we can all embrace. And maybe it'll resonate with you. Maybe one of them or all of them will. But I really want you just to see God, let him speak to you this morning about some of these mind shifts from his word, from Scripture, and see if they benefit your life or your ministry or just your maybe your relationship with God. So the first mind shift that we're going to look at is that we see here that we just kind of discussed, and it's this. It's how you think determines what you become, right? How you think determines what you become. If you think about a bunch of positive and encouraging things in all situations, you're going to be a positive and encouraging person. If you're always thinking about the negative and how terrible things are and you're thinking that way and that's where your thought processes go, that's kind of how your actions are going to be. That's how you're going to present yourself. So how you think determines what you become. And while this is a solid truth, one that we all need to know and embrace, our guy Paul takes it a step further, right? Which he typically does. He takes it a step further in his letter to the Philippians. You see, with Paul, everything was about Jesus. 100% of everything that he did, it was about Jesus. So he's instructing them to be like-minded with each other. But he also takes it that step further and says that you're to be like-minded with Jesus as well. To be like-minded with Jesus. And this is important because as Christians, if you claim the name of Christ, you are called to be like Jesus. To be Christ-like. That's what your calling is. That's how we're supposed to behave. That's how we're supposed to act. That's our golden standard. And I don't know about you all, but to me, when I read and look at the life of Jesus, that can be rather intimidating, right? It can be rather intimidating to try to measure up and to live up to that standard, to live as Jesus lived. I mean, I think to myself sometimes, there's just no way that I could be as loving or as generous or as forgiving or as graceful as Jesus was. There's no way that I can please God the way that Jesus did. It could be overwhelming. But you see, this is exactly why Paul teaches us to be like-minded with Jesus. See, when knowing this, knowing that this would be difficult, that this would be a struggle, knowing that what goes on between our ears, right, and in our hearts is critical, Paul kind of gives us this mind shift, a way we can begin to change our perspective. So going from knowing that what we think determines what we become, we kind of shift this mind shift into this, that if you think like Jesus thought, you'll live like Jesus lived. If you think like Jesus thought, you can live like Jesus lived. Doesn't mean you're going to be perfect. No one's perfect. No one's going to actually achieve that standard. But we can begin to live and operate as he did when we think like him. We immerse ourselves into his life, into his word, to how he thought and living the way that he did. So then that begs the question to be asked that how did Jesus think, right? If we're to think like Jesus thought, we got to know how he thought, right? So when you look at his life, based on his life, based on his teachings and what he did, I think it's safe to say that a few of the things that he thought about the most were pleasing God and loving people. Pleasing God and loving people. I guess what he thought about. I like to say it, that loving God, loving people. I feel like if we as Christ followers truly embraced that, this world would be drastically different. If we truly loved God with everything and loved people, we could be more like Christ. In fact, when asked by some of the Pharisees, when Jesus was asked, what's the greatest of the commandments of the law? Right, Jesus responded to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, this is one of my, and I've said this time and time, it's one of my favorite passages and pieces of scripture. These people were trying to trip Jesus up, trying to catch him in something so they could point him out and be, ha, got you. And he's witty. He was good. He was smooth. And he said, hey, love God with everything. And love your neighbor as yourself. And if you can do that, you're good. You fulfilled the law. That's what Jesus thought about. So if we want to be like-minded with Jesus, we have to think about pleasing God and loving God with everything. And we have to think about how we can love people, love others more than ourselves. That's why Paul was, what he was saying to the Philippians when he said to be like-minded. And this is how he taught it, that to not necessarily to be like-minded with each other, to be like-minded with Jesus. Verse 3, he says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Struggle, right here. Struggle bus. You know, sometimes we really struggle with our natural desire is to think about ourselves, to be vain, to be conceited. But he says right here, do nothing out of self-ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Have a mind shift, right? Think about how you can take yourself and lower it down below other people so that you can truly please God and love him and love others. In order to do that successfully, you have to think about others more than yourself. He said, but in humility, consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And then check this out. He says, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Again, big shoes to fill. Or should I say big sandals to fill, I guess. But your attitude should be that of Jesus. Your attitude. See, and we all know that our attitude, man, it can make or break a person, right? I mean, your attitude is critical. It's like this little small piece of your life, but it has big repercussions. Your attitude is critical. I mean, when I think about attitude, anytime I hear that word, I immediately go back into like middle school and high school with, you know, riding in the car with my parents after a basketball game and them telling me how terrible my attitude was during the game. Like, when I hear attitude, I'm like, your attitude was terrible. If you don't get this together, you're not playing again. I say middle school and high school. I also think about in college when I ran a men's flag football league and actually played in it too. Driving home, my wife said, your attitude is terrible. And if you don't get it together, I'm never coming back to another game of yours. So this is what I think about with attitude. But then I think about a mind shift. When I think about a mind shift, an attitude. I'm currently playing in a men's basketball league on Tuesday nights. And I know this is a struggle for me. So I've had this mind shift that I know that if I am just left to my own devices, I'm going to be a jerk. Like, it's the truth. I'm so competitive, and I get just frustrated. So what I've decided to do is, one, I pray for my attitude before every game, and then I make it a point that all throughout the game, I'm saying encouraging things to the other team. When they hit a good shot, I'm letting them know, hey, good shot, man. Good shot, four. Whatever it is. Or I'm trying to say things. I'm trying to keep a positive attitude throughout the game, and it has changed me. Because our attitudes matter. Our attitudes are important. I'm playing with some guys that aren't Christ followers, that know I'm a pastor. So it's really important that I truly have an attitude of Christ. but not just because of other people, because of that's how I'm called to live. With Christ in me, as a Christ follower, I'm to have the same attitude as him. And I want you to note that Paul didn't say, man, just have a positive attitude, which is good, which is we all need to have a positive attitude, but he said that we should have the attitude like Christ, a Christ-like attitude. Essentially, he says you need to think like Jesus thought so that you can live like Jesus lived, so that you can live with an attitude like Jesus. Again, verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. So again, what did Jesus' attitude look like? What kind of attitude did he take on? So if we have to have an attitude like his, we have to know what it was. So verse 6, he continues, he said, who, when he's talking about Jesus, said, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. So from this, let me give you another mind shift, another different way of thinking, because so often in our world today, man, it's all about us. Everything is about us. We are so self-centered and self-focused, it's ridiculous, right? I mean, we're like, man, I've got to put myself out there, you know? I've got to, no matter the cost, I've got to get to that next position. I got to be the best. Even if it means putting someone else down, man, I got to be there. And I've got to get over like 1,000 Instagram followers, or I need to get as many likes on this post as I can get so people are looking at my pictures and what I'm posting and commenting on me. I've got to look out for number one, right? For myself and my needs. I've got to be a self-promoter. What is my brand? I mean, it's what we're consumed with. But yet we're called to have an attitude like Christ. So as followers of Christ, here's another mind shift. It's that pleasing God isn't about self-promotion, but self-abandonment. Again, pleasing God isn't about self-promotion, it's about self-abandonment. I mean, it's a mind shift. It's a different perspective. It's a new way of thinking. So let's take a deeper look into these two verses, verse 6 and verse 7. And Paul writes that Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. Now, the Greek word that translates as grasp here literally means to rob. So basically, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped or robbed. But we know somebody, if you read Scripture and through the Old Testament, that attempted this, right? He attempted to rob being like God, being God. Lucifer, man, he said, you know, I want to be like God. In fact, I will be like God. And we know how that played out for him, right? Because equality with God is not something to be grasped or robbed. In the Garden of Eden, that's when the serpent approached Adam and Eve, that's how he tempted them, right? You can be like God. You could be equals with the Creator. You could be equal with him. But it's not true. That's false. It's a lie. Because equality with God is not something to be grasped. It's not about self-promotion. It's about self-abandonment. And in verse 7, Paul goes on to say that Jesus made himself nothing. Man, I've heard that verse over and over again. And man, I don't want you to skip over that. I don't want you to just read through that and just keep it moving. I really want you to think and meditate on that, that Jesus made himself nothing. The one who had every right. The man who was God. He was with God, and he is God. He's one. I mean, he stripped himself of everything to become a servant in order to serve those, honestly, who hated him. To serve those who sinned against him. He made himself nothing. the one who had every right to be praised and glorified and lifted on high. Man, he knelt down and washed the feet of others. He made himself nothing to be a servant. And we too have to make ourselves nothing. Think about it like this. When God created the world, what did he create the world out of? Nothing. So you too, if you are nothing, man, he can take and mold you into something incredible, something beautiful, something that he can use for his glory and to further his kingdom. But when you start thinking of yourself as something, you start thinking of yourself as something special, something more than you ought to, man, that's when you're at risk of not being used by God. That's when you're at risk of not being able to fulfill his call in your life because you're too consumed with yourself. We have to make ourselves nothing. Take on the attitude of Christ. It's a mind shift. It's a change of perspective. It's a different way of thinking. It's not about self-promotion, but self-abandonment. It's about acknowledging that your life, man, it's not your own. It's not your own. If you are a Christ follower, man, you've been purchased with the shed blood of Jesus. Therefore, his life, or your life, is his. Everything, 100%, is his. And so you make yourself nothing, just as he did. Jesus, the Son of God, made himself nothing and took on the very nature of a servant. And this brings us to our next mind shift opportunity that we find in this passage of Scripture, and it's this. Serving is not what I do. A servant is who I am. My man Daniel Henderson will probably love that because he's all about serving. But I'm telling you, it's not because he wants to and looking for ways he can just go serve to check it off his list. He does it because he is a servant. It's a mind shift. It's a different perspective. Again, it's a different way of thinking. And it leads to different results. So when you mentally embrace this fact, this truth, this mind shift here, that serving is not what I do, but a servant is who I am, you'll start to actually see yourself as a servant. And it begins to change everything because your actions just follow as a result. Serving follows as a result of who you are. But see, in 2018, the problem is that far too often we're not looking and viewing ourselves as a servant, but we're looking for ways that we can be served by others. Because it's all about us. Man, I work hard. So it's time for someone to serve me. No, no. If you're a follower of Christ, you're called to be a servant. To have the attitude of Jesus, to make yourself nothing and be a servant. That's what you're called to do. See, serving, again, isn't something that we do. It's who we are. So you don't go to church just to serve. You don't serve because you feel obligated to. And you don't even serve because you see a need and you just really want to, you know, think it would be nice to meet it. No, you do that because you are a servant at your core. In your DNA, you are a servant. Therefore, everything that you do is an outflow of service to others. I am a servant. You're a servant because you're going to be like-minded. You'll be like-minded with Christ. You're going to have the attitude of Jesus. And again, he made himself nothing to be a servant. Therefore, we too should be servants. And in verses 8 through 11, we see just one of the many examples of how Jesus served. It's the ultimate act of service. The greatest act of service in all of human history. In verse 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Even to death on a cross. Again, the ultimate act of service. Made himself obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's how Jesus served. The ultimate act of service. He was obedient as a servant, even to death. Because serving is not just an act. It's not what we do. But a servant is who we are. Now, before we move on to the final mind shift that we're going to discuss from this passage of scripture this morning, I want you to think about this. I'm going to read just a couple well-known verses from the book of Philippians. And as I do, I really want you to think about them. And as you're thinking about that, I want you to ask yourself, how could Paul write such incredible and beautiful words, remembering that he was in prison, right? That he was waiting trial to see whether or not he was going to be executed. And he wrote these beautiful words. During this difficult time, how could he write words such as we talked about last week, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Regardless, it's a win-win for me. How could he write, I count everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ? From prison, how could he write, don't be anxious about anything? Man, if I was in his shoes, I'd be an anxious, nervous mess. But he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transforms all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Man, how could he write these words? Such encouraging, powerful, beautiful words. Well, he could write these because of a mind shift. Because he had a different perspective. He had some information, right? Some knowledge that changed the way he thought. And sure, there was all kinds of reasons for Paul to have been hopeless, to have been miserable, to have been frustrated or angry. A slew of negative emotions. He had reason. Just like I'm sure many of you here today have reasons. Some things going on in your life that you have reasons to feel maybe hopeless or miserable or frustrated or depressed. Maybe it's, man, you're just kind of thinking to yourself, man, this just didn't work out the way I wanted it to. I thought this was going to be different, but it's not. God, why are you allowing this to happen? I want this to be different. Why is this person treating me this way? Why isn't life like I thought it would be? You're going through some tough things. And just like Paul, you have reason to be hopeless and miserable. But he wasn't. And the reason was is because of this final mind shift. This final piece of truth, and it's this, that my joy isn't based in what happens to me, but what God is doing in and through me. And this is a powerful mind shift. If we can embrace this, it is an absolute game changer, especially for those of you that are anxious and stress about things. That my joy isn't based on what happens to me, but what God is doing in and through me. It's a mind shift. It's a change of perspective. So for example, last week we looked at Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, which says that when this happened to me, Paul's writing this, what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. He's saying this negative, terrible thing that happened has a beautiful result, that it's advancing the gospel. It's advancing the kingdom of God. See, it wasn't about what happened to him. He wasn't focused on that. His joy wasn't in that. His joy was in what God was doing through and in him. That's where his joy was found. That's why he was able to write this beautiful letter to the Philippians. Even while on house arrest and imprisoned in Rome, awaiting whether he was going to live or die. He had that change of perspective. It wasn't about what was happening to him. It was about what God was doing in and through him. And that he knew that the gospel was advancing because of this. Therefore, he had joy. That's why he could write these words in Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. It said, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering. Basically, even if it costs me everything. Even if it costs me my life. Even if I'm poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. Even if it costs me everything, even if it costs me my life, which it eventually did, I'm glad and will rejoice with you. Paul was able to be glad and rejoice because he understood and he had this mind shift that it wasn't, his joy didn't come from what was happening in his life, what was happening to him, or the things that he didn't like. His joy came in what God was doing in him and through him. He had a different perspective on things. It's a beautiful perspective on things, an inspiring perspective on things. And you could have that same mind shift. You can have that same perspective on life. You see, when you find something new, right? You hear that new piece of information, many times we begin to think differently, right? It changes the way we think. We have this mind shift. And so my prayer for each of you this morning is that you will receive the truth found in Philippians chapter 2. That if you have that mind shift that needs to take place, that God will reveal that to you. He'll reveal it to you and you can begin to do the work. Begin to trust him and begin to shift the way you think. Again, because how you think determines what you become. So we're going to remember that if you think like Jesus thought, we'll be able to live like Jesus lived, right? And that pleasing God isn't about self-promotion, but about self-abandonment. And serving is not what I do, but a servant is who I am. And ultimately, that my joy in life isn't based on what happens to me, but it's based on what God is doing in and through me. So let God work in your hearts this morning. Let him work in your minds and begin to shift that perspective. Shift the way you think into something beautiful. Let him begin to renew your mind as he gives you that new and beautiful perspective. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you're in control of all things, that you know all things, and that your ways are higher and your knowledge is greater and surpasses ours, Father. We're so thankful. And God, this morning we pray that you would give us a fresh and clean and new perspective on life. It's so easy to get distracted and just bogged down by the weight and the heaviness of the things that we face in life. God, I pray that you would give us that new perspective. Give us that mind shift where we need it. As we continue in prayer this morning, maybe you're here today and you don't know Christ. You've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You've never stepped over that line of faith. You've never come into that relationship with him. Maybe it's because you need a mind shift. Maybe you're sitting here thinking that, you know, well, I'm a good person. So sure, I should be good. We have a mind shift knowing that we are not. You may do some good things, but deep down, I mean, we are sinners in need of a Savior. And he is that Savior. He made a way for you. He loves you. Maybe that's your mind shift. Maybe you look on at things that happen in the world and you're like, how could God be loving? How could he be good when there's so much evil in the world? Man, have a mind shift to understand that God loves you. He's crazy about you. He wants nothing more than to be in a relationship with you. Again, so much so that he sent his son, Jesus, who made himself nothing, made himself a servant, and was obedient even unto death on a cross. Shed his blood for you. So that you could know him. So that you could be made right before him. So that when he looks on you, he sees Jesus. Not your flaws, not your failures, not all the ridiculous, stupid things that you've done in your life. He sees his son, his blood that covers all sin. He made a way for you. And scripture says that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth, you will be saved. It's about confessing and believing. Confessing that you have flaws, confessing that you're not perfect, confessing and believing that he is the one and only way to God, the one and only way to salvation. And all you have to do is just believe, confess, believe, just call on his name this morning. So if that's you, I encourage you, man, just to lay it all down. Give it all to him and just call on his name however he leads. Just confess and believe. It'll be the greatest decision you ever make in your life. It says that once you come into a relationship with him, that he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll always be there. It says that you're a new creation. It says the old things are gone. They've passed away. Behold, all things are new. He separates your sin from you as far as the east is from the west. You're a new creation. And he made a way. And all you have to do is just believe. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Follow him. Maybe you're here today and you are a Christ follower, but man, you've really just been struggling in different areas of your life. Maybe it's time to have a mind shift. Maybe you're not serving like you need to. Maybe you're so self-focused that you're not investing in your relationship with God, and you're not viewing yourself as a servant. You're just serving yourself and wanting others to serve you. Man, have that mind shift. Maybe you're struggling with the same sin over and over again, or the same thought or whatever. Man, begin to have the attitude and think like Jesus. I don't know what it is for you, but maybe it's time to have that mind shift, start to see things from a different perspective. So as Mike plays, you do business with God. Just call out to him with whatever he is leading you to. If you need to confess some things, confess them. If you need to commit to having a mind shift, do that. If you don't know Christ, give him your life today. Confess and believe and become that new creation in him. Or maybe you would like to pray with someone or have them guide you through that or anything. We'll have some of our leadership team up front to pray with you. Or you can pray from your seat, whatever you're comfortable with. But you do business with God as Mike leads. God, we thank you again for your truth. We thank you for loving us so much, God. May we begin to think like you thought and long to love you and to love people, to make ourselves nothing and be servants. And God, at this time, we pray that you would just speak to those that are here this morning, God. Regardless of what I've said, it doesn't matter, Lord. You speak your truth. And may we be responsive. And may we do the business with you, God, that you are leading us to do, to make the decisions, to get right what needs to get right, to do the actions or make the changes, Father. Whatever it may we be bold enough to follow your lead. We love you. In your name we pray.